Hallelujah. Let's put those hands together for Jesus. He alone deserves the glory. He alone deserves the praise. He alone deserves the worship. He alone deserves the honor. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was so excited when I came in this morning because of what God is doing here. Let's put hands together and celebrate God for the man and the woman of God. Praise God. I was taken on a tour of the facility and I'm happy. Those of you that were here, the last time I came, one of the things I believe I said is the fact that I like being a part of a success in the making. Because, you know, a lot of people, they see the glory, but they don't know the story behind the glory. And in not too long a time, we'll be telling people how this place used to be. And they'll be like, are you sure? I say, yeah. So please make sure you have pictures, make sure you have recordings of the work in progress so that we will remind them when we get to the other side. Praise God. You may please be seated in God's presence. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for my brother, my friend, for being an ambassador of God in this city. And I believe very strongly that which God has in store will become a reality in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I hope you do have a pen and a paper. I'm going to be sharing some things with us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. If you are there, can I hear an amen? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Father, we thank you because there is power in your word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot of your word will go unfulfilled. The Bible says, so shall your word be that goes forth out of your mouth. It will not return unto you void until it has accomplished what you send it to do. Lord, the book is open this morning. Open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to gain understanding. I pray for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl under the influence of my voice that no one will live here the same. But there will be a download from heaven bringing divine illumination and transforming us. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the saints of God shout a big amen. I got born again as a teenager, became a pastor at the age of 21. Before my 25th birthday, I was called of God to pioneer a ministry that I still have the privilege to pastor up until now. And as a result of the fact that I got born again as a teenager and began to serve God as a young man, many of the things in my life were moving very fast. Many things that used to take people a while will just happen for me with ease. However, regardless of the fact that I was experiencing speed in different aspects of my life, one aspect of my life that was not moving as expected was my finances. Because while I was growing up, I was made to understand that in order to prosper, all I needed to do was to just give and pay my tithe and serve God and be holy, and then everything would be okay. And I was doing that, but it seemed as if something was missing somewhere. Because even though I was paying my tithes, things were tight. Even though I was giving my offering, I was still suffering. And in the year 1998, I came to a place of frustration. I became frustrated with the way my life was going because I just knew that things could not continue like this. In my frustration, I went to God and I began to cry out to him. I said, God, I have served you all my life. Your word declares that the young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but no good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. I began to question God on a lot of things, and while I was asking God a lot of questions, God was also asking me a lot of questions. Now, that questioning led me to an encounter with God, because see, one of the things you need to understand is that when you are not married, it's probably okay to be poor because you don't have too much responsibilities. But don't try to be poor as a married man, because there is no romance without finance. And when a woman tells you, I love you the way you are, I love you the way you are does not mean I love you to remain the way you are. She's hoping that somewhere along the line, your story will change. And if your story refuses to change, our own story will change. So I became frustrated, and within that frustration, I went to an encounter with God. And for 8 months, God began to school me in the realm of the spirit. God began to take me back into the scripture and rewind and rewire my brain. And a lot of things that I used to believe, a lot of interpretations that I used to attach to scripture was just changed divinely. And I began to see things in a different way. And God began to lead me to read all kinds of books, do a lot of research, do all kinds of study. And after 8 months, I came out with what it takes to prosper. I came out with what it takes to really create wealth. And God said, now that you have known what it takes, I want you to practice it and see whether it works. And between 1999 and 2002, I began to work these things out. I began to work it out. And by 2003, my story changed completely. I was able to look back and see that of a truth, this thing works. And God said, now go and teach my people how to create wealth. And for about 12, 13 years now, all I've been doing, apart from ministry, is going around the world teaching people how to create wealth. Because you need to understand that one of the challenges that we have in the church is imbalance, lack of balance. Most of the time, we in the church, we come to church and we are told what God wants us to have, but nobody's telling us how to get it, and nobody's telling us why we should have it. So you find that in the church of God, just like the pastor was saying, there's so much excitement and yet so much poverty. So in church, people come, they scream and they shout. I can come here now and whoop and holler and get everybody screaming and jumping. But after the end of the service, in what way does that translate to transformation? So most of the time, as Christians, we end up operating like drug addicts that come to church every Sunday for the next fix, so that we can go on a high. So there is nothing wrong in jumping and screaming and shouting and getting excited. But in the midst of the noise, there must be substance. So you find that in church, they tell us, oh, God wants you to be blessed. So you come, you say, the money, come to me now. You pull the lever. After pulling the lever, there's no money. Everybody get excited. And they say, oh, go touch 3 people. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Oh, my God. Your money is coming. If you believe, shout, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Everybody's jumping and screaming. Then after the service, you are still in debt. After the service, you still don't know what to do to come out of your financial situation. So you find out that we are told what God wants us to have. God wants you to be blessed, the best of the land. Yes, but how do I get it? Oh, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. How? How does it happen? How will it become right? So we end up having prosperity without a purpose, money without a mission. We end up having people that are expectant and hopeful, and yet they end up being frustrated because their hopes are dashed. So one of the things that God made me to understand in the course of that encounter, which is one of the cardinal fundamental aspects of wealth creation, is what I want to talk to you about this morning. So I want to talk to you about understanding the power to get wealth. Understanding the power to get wealth. Because many times we are always asking for what we already have. And because we are always asking for what we already have, we are not able to maximize what we have. Because if you don't know that you have something, you will not be able to use it to your advantage. Now, when you look at our text today, it says, the God that gives you power to get wealth. Now, as Christians, we like to be, you know, religious and supernatural in our thinking. So when you hear the word power to get wealth, you keep, what exactly does God mean when he said, I've given you power to get wealth? Because most of the time, you will be deceived to think that everybody understands what you are saying. So for me as a person, I've spent most of my time trying to be sure we're on the same page. So I like definitions a lot. Why? Because my understanding and my perception of a particular issue may be different from yours. So I may mention something that means one thing to me, but it may mean something else to you. So it's always good. For instance, now, if I use the word fox, F-O-X, if I say a fox, now once I say the word fox, now for somebody, what will come to their mind is, oh, a fox, oh, that's an animal, that's okay, okay, that's a fox. And for somebody else, there is a car that is called a fox. That can be their own definition. And then you also use the word fox for a very beautiful woman. When a woman is extremely, dangerously beautiful. Beautiful woman that can turn your head off the car and make you to have an accident and derail your destiny. You can call her a fox. So when I use the word fox, you may be thinking of a car. Somebody else may be thinking of it. So we have to be able to know what we mean by fox. For instance, some time ago, I did a seminar on understanding the anointing a while back. I was about to start downloading about the anointing when I just thought, don't download the anointing. People may not understand. So I called the brother. And I said, please, my brother, can you please stand up? What do you understand by the anointing? And the guy looked at me and said, well, the anointing. Yeah, the anointing is the anointing. The anointing. He doesn't have anything to say. That's just it. Then I said, okay, let me just balance this. So I called a sister. I said, excuse me, my sister. Please, what do you understand by the anointing? And she looked at me and said, the anointing. The anointing is that thing that we make them to fall on the ground. They will not be shaking, jiggy, jiggy, jiggy. So as far as she's concerned, the anointing is what makes you to fall and roll on the floor. So if you don't fall and roll, there's no anointing. So when we talk about the word power, what exactly do we mean by power? Because when you look at the scripture here, let's go back again and see. Say, I'm the God that gives you the power to get wealth. God does not give wealth to anybody. He doesn't give wealth to anybody. He gives you the power to get the wealth. So you find out that in the church, we pray for money. Oh Lord, give us money. God cannot answer that prayer. You know why? He doesn't have money. So if you pray for God to give you money, they don't spend dollars in heaven. Do you understand? They don't spend dollars in heaven. So if you say, oh God, I need money. I need to pay my mortgage. Give me money. God is like, what are you talking about? Because in heaven, they don't spend money. So when you are asking him to give you money, it's like, but I've given you power to create the world that you need right there. So you are asking me for money. Where do you expect me to get money? Because if you sit down and ask yourself, God created the heavens and the earth, and there was no money involved. So if God can create the entire heaven and earth without money, what currency was God using to create the heaven and the earth? That same currency, the currency of faith, the currency of the Holy Spirit, the currency of declaration, the currency of revelation, all those currencies are still available now, but you abandon them, you are looking for money. Do you understand? So when he said, I'm the God that gives you power, God does not give wealth to anybody. He gives you the power to create the wealth. So it is God's responsibility to empower you. It is your responsibility to use the power to create the wealth. So if you don't use the power, you'll be a powerful poor man. Powerful, yet poor. Why? Because the power is there, the ability is there, but you have not used it. Now, the word power, when you study your Bible, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and Aramaic. The New Testament is written in Greek. So the word power comes from different words. Now, when you come into the New Testament, we have the word exousia, and we have the word dunamis. Now, the word dunamis is translated power, and dunamis means ability. So when God says, I've given you power, it means I've given you the ability. I have empowered you with the ability to create. So dunamis means ability. But apart from that, the word power also means exousia. Exousia means authority. Now, authority is above ability. Because ability means I've enabled you to do it. Authority means I have authorized you to do it. So when you operate in the realm of authority, you can achieve what you don't have the power to achieve. Because you are now leveraging on the power of a higher authority. So if the pastor is not around, and he's traveling, just like he's just come back, and he's, okay, I'm traveling, and he calls a young man from the teenage church and said, while I'm away, you are going to be preaching and sharing with the church next week Sunday. Now, the very minute the pastor says that young man is teaching next week Sunday, it simply means every one of you, including the mother and the grandmother of that boy, have to sit down and listen to him teach. Why? Because he has been given the authority by the pastor to do so. When he stands behind the pulpit and he says, stand up, you will stand up. When he says, sit down, you will sit down. When he says, somebody say amen, you will say amen. Why are you responding to him? Not because he has that kind of power, but because he has been authorized to do it. Are we getting that now? So when we say power, you need to understand that that's what power means a lot of you. Because for many people, when you hear the word power to get to, what they are thinking, oh, power. Power, power. I just need the power. So I go to a lot of places, and because people know I'm a rich man, they tell me to lay hands on them. Say, please, pastor, please lay hands on me. And just lay hands. And I'm like, it doesn't happen by laying on of hands. I didn't get it by that. Do you understand? So I may lay hands on you. It doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. Now, on Thursday, Daddy Gio is in town. It was around on Thursday. We had a pastor's meeting with him. And we had this meeting, it was a Bible study, and he laid hands on all of us. All of us, one by one, everybody was coming out, he was laying hands, so we came out, we received it. And then, after the meeting, few of us were sitting and we're discussing, and we just discussed into taking responsibility as a Christian. We're talking about his message. Because one of the things he said in the teaching is the fact that any Christianity that places the total responsibility of your life on God is a useless Christianity. That you have a part to play. So we're discussing some of the things he said. And I told him, I said, do you know that the exact thing he said is applicable to what we have just experienced? I said, now, one of the greatest generals of God on earth have just laid hands on all of us. I said, but do you know that that does not mean we're going to succeed? I said, hope you know that he has laid hands on you, it doesn't mean nothing. The fact that he has laid hands on you means he has authorized you. He has empowered you. But you now have to leave that place and do something. If you leave there now and go and sit down at home, Daddy, you has laid hands on me, I can never be poor again. And you sit down at home, you will die of poverty. If you are a pastor, you don't go back to work. You just sit and say, by that, laying on of, my story has changed. Nothing will happen. So most of the time, as Christians, we don't want to take responsibility for our lives. We want to let somebody else do the job, and we now take the credit. But it doesn't work like that. So when we look at the word power, we can look at power from different angles. For you to now understand, when God says, I've given you power to get to, what does it mean? Because let me work it a little deeper. Water, ice, and vapor. What's the difference between those three things? Water is water. Ice is still water in another form. Vapor or steam is water in another form. If you can capture the vapor or the steam, after a while you see water come out again. Now, so when you say water, what do you see as water? So if your mindset means water is only the liquid one, then that's all you'll be thinking about. So even when you see ice block and you are looking for water, you will not be able to think outside the box. You will have ice, and yet you say, you see, there is no water. There is no water. I went for a meeting last weekend. I was in an hotel, and there was no water in the room. And I know that I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes to read or do a lot of stuff, so I may need water. So what did I do? I know that even though there was no water in the room, there was an ice machine. So what I did was I took the ice bucket, I went to the ice machine, I took a lot of ice, and I left it there. Knowing that by the time I will wake up and need it, I will not have ice anymore, I will have water. But do you know, somebody else will not think that way. Because as far as they are concerned, there is no water. I say, hey, but there is ice. I say, is it ice? I need water. I don't need ice. No, ice is also water. It's only a matter of time. So when you understand power, it will help you, as we're going to see today. For instance, let me go deeper again and show you some examples. A man of God went to another man of God. And when he went to him, he went to ask for prayers so that he can have power. So he said, sir, please, I'd like to see you. Say, you know, I need power. I want power. I want you to pray for me. I need power. So the man of God was confused. He said, you need power. What do you mean when you say you need power? Is it that you want me to pray for you so that you can pray for people to be healed? Is it that you want me? What do you mean? But he said, I just want power. I just want. He said, because you already have the power. The most powerful being on earth, God, is inside you by the Holy Spirit. And he said, greater works than this shall you do. So everything that God has done, you can do. You already have God inside you. So what power are you looking for again? Because, you know, sometimes we sing songs that are not really, you know, they are not spiritually correct. They can be theologically sensitive. And, you know, oh, come down, oh Lord, and manifest your power. Come. He's not coming down. He's already inside you. He's not anywhere up there. He's here. So he's supposed to actually come out, not come down. You know, we sing all kinds of songs. I believe I can fly. You can't fly. It's not possible. You can't. It's not possible. So don't fool yourself. You can. He can massage your ego, make you feel good. I believe I can touch the sky. You can't fly. You can never fly. Oh, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. It's a lie. You can't do all things. You need to understand that when the Bible says you can do all things, it was a context. You don't just take a scripture out of context. You can't do all things. You can't. It's not possible. There are things you can never do. When he said I can do all things, he was talking about the ability to survive no matter the storm. He said, I have learned to abound and to abase. In the midst of plenty, I've learned how to undo it. When I'm in poverty, I've learned. He said, I can do all things. He was speaking with reference to the challenges of life, that against all odds, no matter what the enemy brings against me, I will survive because God is on my side. It doesn't mean you can do all things. I can do all things. Oh, yeah, start flying now. Are you a witch? Fly. Let me see your wing. I believe I can fly. Fly. So we get ourselves excited in church with all kinds of scripture. So the man said, okay, you want to know what power? Okay, let me help you understand this power thing. So you know what the man did? He picked up his phone and he called the president of the country and put it on speaker. And the president was greeting the bishop and said, oh, my Lord Bishop, the Lord bless you, sir. It's an honor to hear from you, sir. Are we okay? Is it well, sir? What is the Lord saying? So the bishop now spoke to them and said, no, I just wanted to check you guys. How are you doing? Just know we are praying for you. He said, we are lawyers, sir. That's the president. Oh. Now the president is now greeting the bishop. And this pastor was listening to the conversation. So when they were through, the bishop now turned to the man. He said, that is power. The ability to be connected to people that move things. He said, and you are already connected to God, the master of the universe, that can move. So what kind of power are you asking for? So when we say power, what do you mean by power? Let me go deeper. A mega church here in the U.S., pastored by one of the mega pastors, had a major event, and another pastor or speaker came. And this particular speaker have this positive reputation that he has an anointing to raise money in millions. That wherever he goes to, he has the anointing to raise millionaires, and people give him millions. So he came to this church, and they were in the foyer getting ready for the meeting. And then the pastor of this mega church turns to this guy and said, wow, man of God, please, I know you always say you can raise 1 million. Please don't try it here. See, this church, you see the crowd, but many of them are on welfare. We go and bring them from nursing home. We bring them from a safe warehouse. We bring them in bus. So don't be moved by the crowd. Just preach your message and go. Don't bother to raise any offering here. So the guy said, no problem. And then the man comes, he preaches. And when it was through preaching, he now said, well, before I close, I want to challenge you to sow a seed. I was with your pastor before the service, and your pastor told me that you people are poor people. Your pastor told me that there are no rich people here, that you people are from Safe Warehouse. Your pastor told me, but I have an anointing upon my life. And today, we want to prove whether, because the anointing that God gives is not localized. The anointing of God does not work in one place and not work in another place. So today, God must prove himself whether he really gave me that anointing or I'm deceiving myself. So I want to challenge you. If you want to give a seed of $1 million, rise up on your feet. Four people stood up. The pastor said where he was shocked. In this church, four people. You mean it's not possible? He's a liar. But guess what? Four people stood up and the pastor said they all paid the money that week. He said, 4 million came. He said, immediately the money cleared in the account. And they told him, sir, the money has cleared. He said, he went into a depression. Now, instead of getting excited, he said, he went into a depression. Number one, you mean people have this kind of money and have been suffering since. And these people are in this church. They are my enemies. They are not my friends.
Say the number two. You mean that there is an anointing that somebody can have to raise me, and I don't have that anointing. Lord, you must show me you are a wicked God. Why didn't you give me that anointing? But while he was angry in depression, he didn't go to church for 1 week. I'm telling you, the pastor was telling his story. He said he didn't go to ministry. The next Sunday, he told his wife to preach. He was angry with God. He said, God now came to me and said, my son, why are you angry? And listen to what God told him. He said, but my son, the same anointing I gave to him, I gave to you. He said, no. He said, no. He said, he has the anointing to get one person to give 1 million. He said, but I've given you so much crowd. He said, you do meeting, 130,000 people gather. He said, that man doesn't have that. He doesn't have 130,000 people. He does meeting, 1,000 people gather, 1,500 people gather. So I needed to give him an anointing so that one person will give 1 million. He said, but you gather 130,000 people, that I have given you the anointing for 100,000 people to give $10 and you still get the same 1 million. I've given you the anointing for 10,000 people to give $1,000. You still get 1 million. I've given you the anointing for 1,000. So at the end of the day, the guy now realized that it's not about how you get there. It's about arriving at the bus stop. He already has the power, but he did not realize he has the power because he wants the power the way somebody else has the power. Are we getting that now? So having understood that foundation, let me now go into the message. I've just been laying foundation since. So now let's look at the power to get wealth now. When God says, I've given you the power to get wealth, what does it mean? When God said, I've given you the power to get wealth, it means 10 things. 10. Are you ready? Number one, when he says, I've given you the power to get wealth, it means I have given you the knowledge and the information to create wealth. I have given you the knowledge and the information to create wealth. If you are not informed, you will be deformed. If you are not inspired, you will expire. If you are not updated, you will be outdated. What you know is what determines how far you go. Information is the key to transformation. Those who know rule over those who do not know. So when God says, I've given you power to get wealth, he has given you information. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are not destroyed for lack of prayer. They are not destroyed for lack of holiness. They are not destroyed for lack of relationship. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know why? Every time you don't have knowledge, God is limited in what he can do in your life. Because knowledge is the gateway of God into the life of his people. So God cannot work in you beyond your knowledge of him. And that's why there are a group of people that believe that healing died with the apostles and they can never experience healing. Why? Because they don't have the knowledge that God can heal today. There are people that believe that you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit anymore. And that every time you stop growing in knowledge, you stop growing in grace, you stop growing in blessings. So God will only work in your life based on your level of knowledge of God. If you believe Jesus is a baby in a manger, you can't get more than what a baby can give. If you believe Jesus is crucified, you can't get more than what a crucified person can give. If you believe Jesus is resurrected, then you get what a resurrected person can give. So your knowledge of God determines what you get from God. So when God says, I've given you the power to get to him, it means I've given you knowledge. Question now is, do we use the knowledge? Because in the church, instead of going for knowledge, we go for religion. Now, let me tell you what we are doing in church. My brother, young man. Yeah, please. Yeah, you. Please come. Can you drive a car? Can you drive a car? You can drive. Okay. I'm looking for... Can you drive? You can't. Okay, come. I need somebody that cannot drive. God bless you. Now... Here is a young man, he cannot drive, right? Do we have any medical doctor here? Anybody that's a medical doctor? Is there someone there? Please come. Do we have a lawyer, solicitor, barrister? Anyone like that? Okay, let's just use a doctor now. We're going to do something now. Very simple, to see this power of knowledge. You see, Christianity is very funny, I'm telling you. Many times as a pastor, it breaks my heart when I see the church fooling themselves because they don't understand what this is we're talking about. Now, this young man cannot drive. Now, in order for him to drive, what does he need to do? To go to the driving school and learn to drive. Does he need prayer? Does he need anointing service? Does he need communion? Does he need to break generational curses? Does he need prophecy? So why are we fooling ourselves in church? You know what we're doing in church?
We lack knowledge, we are shallow, we are ignorant, and we are doing anointing service. So, look at what pastors do. Next week, Sunday, is anointing for prosperity. By the time you are anointed, you will prosper. This is your year. That poverty will die. Everybody will be jumping and screaming, and that's nonsense. So the man comes, he teaches you, if he does at all, and then they will anoint you. Go and prosper. Go and prosper. Hope you know you are not going to prosper. No, but that's what we do in church. People are not learning anything. Go and prosper. Now, imagine this man coming to church, and they say there is a great man of God coming from Nigeria, so I come. Maybe I wear our Nigerian parachute. And then I'm jumping all around. It's there. Oh my God, God is in this place. Oh, last week in my crusade in Kinshasa, two dead people were raised. I was coming from Atlanta just last week in the crusade. Two blind eyes were opened. Now, for a blind eyes to open, you don't need to go to school. You need an anointing to open blind eyes. But for somebody to learn driving, you don't need anointing. So, when I share all those testimonies, which is accurate, and I'll say, if you are here, you cannot drive. Come. So the guy now come. In the name of Jesus. Receive it now. Begin to drive. Receive the anointing to drive. It's done. In the name of Jesus. Go and drive. I hope you know that's disaster in the making. That's what we are doing. We transpose principles. Every key cannot open every door. Do you understand? So to prosper is not by prayer.